This is Access Radio Chicago, AM 750 WNDZ, Portage, Indiana, Chicago.
The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed on this radio program by the hosts, co-hosts, guests, and or callers do not necessarily reflect those of this radio station and its ownership. The following program, Golfers on Golf, is paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.
Welcome to Golfers on Golf Radio, hosted by Ed Stevenson, Phil Berger, Rory Spears, and Len Zien, Chicago's favorite foursome.
All right, 10 a.m. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. I'm Rory Spears in the house today. We're back, yeah, for this week and next week anyway. And we thank our good friends at Rich Harvest Farms who are working with the people with the Live Golf Series, and they have elected to get involved with Golfers on Golf Radio for a couple of weeks to preview the show or preview the championship coming to Rich Harvest Farms this week. And also next Saturday, you'll hear from some of the players on the show. Today, Len Zien joins us live from the Palmer Country Club Studios in Sarasota, Florida. Also joining us live from Rich Harvest Farms, Alex Klein Wedeen, who will be checking in, the Executive Vice President at Rich Harvest Farms. Also, Tim Cronin of the Illinois Golfer will join us right after the bottom of the hour. Tim likes to do a lot of research on TV broadcasts, and especially in the golf world. And he has been monitoring some of the online production and broadcasts of the Live Golf Series events that they have had so far this year. Tim will bring us up to speed on the TV side or online broadcasting side of Live Golf as we get to the bottom of the hour. And it's nice to welcome back one of our regular partners of the show, Len Zien. Lenny, how are you this morning?
Well, I'm good, and we're unfortunately here in Florida, we're looking at nothing but raindrops for the last few days. But we are so very interested in how things are going to play out at Rich Harvest. I mean, I've been doing a lot of research of my own on this whole thing, and I've watched the previous events on either YouTube or Facebook, and I think people in Chicago they're going to have fun with this one. This Live event coming to Rich Harvest is going to be something new and different, and I don't know that everybody will like it because it'll be a little bit of a change of pace. It won't be as traditional as a usual golf tournament, but it's going to be different. It'll be a lot of fun.
Well, and I'm just kind of anxious to learn more about it. It's you can read things online, you can try to watch the broadcast a little bit online, but I think until you experience this type of golf in person, there's a little bit of a question mark as to what is really there. And I'm excited to see some of the biggest names in golf back in town. You know, we've had some great tournaments here the last few years, and it was unfortunate that the last BMW championship that was supposed to be in town at Olympia Fields, we all got locked out due to COVID, and, you know, there was nothing anybody can do about that. And, you know, they'll get their shot again next year back at Olympia Fields with the return of the BMW championship. But the BMW has been driving around a lot the last couple of years. And after next year, it goes back on the road again for a while. So if you want to see the big names in golf, you want to watch the Dustin Johnsons and the Bryson DeChambeaus and the Phil Mickelsons and, you know, Cam Smiths of the world, Live Golf. That's where it's happening now. And, you know, we're going to have to find out if they are coming back to town. It appears from their advanced schedule that they will be in Chicago next year. I don't know if that means they'll be back at Jerry Rich's Rich Harvest Farms out in Sugar Grove, but maybe we can get more on that from Alex Klein Wedeen that's going to join us shortly. But Len, I got to believe, I know Mr. Rich, I got to believe that, you know, if he's going to welcome them here once, he might be welcoming, you know, give them the welcome mat for years to come. We'll have to see how that all plays out at Rich Harvest Farms.
Yeah, I tell you, I think the thing here, whether it, yeah, we'll have to see how what happens if they want to go back there or how that plays out. But I do think it's great that from what I've been reading, it's Chicago's on the docket for another tournament next year, and it's really been sad these last few years that we haven't had the PGA Tour any closer than the John Deere Classic, which isn't all that far away, but Chicago has such a rich history of seeing the best tournaments, and you get used to seeing them. I certainly got used to seeing them, and then of course the BMW started moving around. We don't see the USGA anymore. We don't see the LPGA anymore. And I think this LIV tournament is going to be a real shot in the arm for golf in Chicago. I think you're right earlier there. It's you've really got it to fully appreciate something like this. You have to be there. But I felt like I got a pretty good taste of what they're doing, especially on the last tournament they had in Boston. I mean, there was lots of drama, a great ending. Everybody seemed to be having a good time. The crowds looked good. So I'm hoping for a big, fun week for the folks at Rich Harvest.
Well, you know, Len, the thing is, though, of all things, and you know, you and I have talked about this before a lot. You know, Tim Cronin, the Illinois golfer, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. You know, he and I have discussed this a lot up here, too. It seems like when it rains, it pours. You know, we get a golf week in Chicago, and everything's happening at the same time. Everybody's scheduled on top of one another. And, you know, the USGA Mid-Amateur, as close as it's been to Chicago since it was at Conway Farms in 2012, is at Erin Hills this week. Live Golf is at Rich Harvest Farms this week. The University of Illinois Collegiate Invitational, which is always has a great field, many of the top college powers, is at Olympia Fields Country Club this week. And also there's a very special event by the Women's Western Golf Association this week, their annual meeting, but award ceremonies with the legendary Judy Rankin this week. And then you get past Sunday, and what have we got on the calendar? Well, nothing, you know. and it's unfortunate that everybody's scheduled on top of one another yet again. But you know what? At least as we head into the fall time of the year, we've got one last week of a big golf blowout. And it should be a pretty exciting, regardless of which event you're at.
Yeah, you got to enjoy this. I mean, these are great names in this field. I'm sure the golf will be really good. Just a visit. You and I know what Rich Harvest is like, and how nice it is over there, and how different and beautiful the setting it is. The people who go there will get a rare chance to see more than just good golf. They'll see just a beautiful place overall, and you know, you've got to take advantage of, if you're a golfer, you just should take advantage of getting to a big event like this. It's the first live event in Chicago. Who knows where the tour is headed, but I think it'll be around a while. But I think that you're part of history if you get to the first live event in your city. So it's going to be a big week. It's going to be a big, fun week, and certainly a milestone for Chicago. It's just going to be a real positive. Even though it's the season itself is going to kind of taper off after this tournament, enjoy the big ones while they're here.
Well, Len, with that, we're going to bring in our first guest to the show this morning, and he is right in the middle of all the action out at Rich Harvest Farms in Sugar Grove, and we're pleased to have the Executive Vice President of Rich Harvest Farms, especially on the marketing side, Alex Klein Wadeen, joining us. Alex, how are you this morning?
Hey, good morning, Rory. I'm doing great. How are you today?
We're doing good, and we got Len Zeem on the line with us as well, Alex. And we're all excited for what's coming your way out at Rich Harvest Farms this week. And, you know, you've actually been to a couple of the LIV Series golf tournaments, and tell us what the experience has been like. What have you seen? What's been the atmosphere and the quality of golf that you're seeing from some of these top players?
Absolutely. Well, again, thanks so much for having me, guys. Couldn't be more excited to be a part of this and really to share it with the community. So as you guys both know, you've been around golf a long time. Jerry Rich, the Rich family, and the team here just couldn't be more excited to bring golf and professional golf to the Chicago market. I mean, it's been underserved. The golf comes and goes here, and it's the chance to really bring these top men's professional players here to Chicago and Rich Harvest Farms and get them to play. You've got Cam Smith, Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, Phil Mickelson, Joaquin Niemann. You have some of the top players in the world, and the opportunity to just come and see them and enjoy the day is something that everybody should be a part of.
Well, Alex, I gotta tell you, I know that a lot of golf fans are anxious to see these players again. You know, it's been 2019 since the great BMW Championship out at Medina that Justin Thomas, ran away from the field and played some great golf. But, you know, you go through a couple of years of COVID and not everything happening and then tournaments happening, away from our market here in Chicago. And, you know, you can't just point the finger at one group, the PGA Tour, because the USGA, hasn't been doing its job here in town lately. You know, I know it's only been 4 years since the debut of the U.S. Senior Women's Open at Chicago Golf, but Chicago's not on their schedule for years to come. The PGA of America has pretty much done the same thing, and the LPGA as well. And so, it's great that the Korn Ferry Tour has an event here that's moving to July, but big name golf just really, especially professional golf, hasn't been properly represented in Chicago for a while. And I think people that come out to Rich Harvest Farms, Alex, are going to enjoy themselves this week, even if it's a little different than what they're used to.
Well, they are, and that's something that I'll touch on real quick, Rory. So, I had the opportunity to go out to both Portland and New Jersey, and this is such an event, and it's an entertainment event. And while it is built around golf, this is an event that is meant for the entire family. So while we are at a golf tournament and you will see amazing golf from the best players in the world, you come in, it's a 12-15 shotgun. We have a fan village. You have lunch trucks there, food trucks of all different varieties. There's putting greens. There's hitting areas. It's meant to come out to bring the family to be fun. You go to the golf tournament, and then immediately after golf, you have concerts. We have St. Lucia, and then Jason Derulo is going to be on Saturday after golf. So it's the chance to come, have a great time, bring your friends, bring your buddies, bring your family, and enjoy the day. And that's not even to touch on the golf. So the golf itself, what an opportunity to have all these players in a shotgun. And I'll tell you what, the first time I went out there, I didn't know what to expect. It is the most spectacular way to watch golf that I've seen. And while it might not be the classic way that everybody's used to it, because you have the marquee groups spread out throughout the course, so if somebody wants to see a Dustin Johnson or see a Joaquin Niemann or see Cam Smith, they're all in different areas. So at any point, you can jump ahead a few holes and get an up-close and personal view of them. And that's something that you just can't do on the PGA Tour or anywhere else.
Well, Alex, I'll start with you, and then I'll send it down to Len Zeem. But, there's some people saying that the first real defining moment of LIV Golf came last week with the sensational finish of Dustin Johnson holing that long eagle putt to win. And, Alex, I'm sure you've seen it, but, sometimes you need some kind of historical moment to really start building the history with a new product. Did you see the putt? And what was your feeling on how that tournament concluded in Boston?
We were watching live with a lot of our friends here at Rich Harvest Farms, and it was absolutely spectacular. I'll tell you, that the excitement that brought really showcased the product. You saw the fans, you saw how excited everyone was, and we can't wait to have that excitement here at Rich Harvest Farms.
Len, your thoughts, I'm sure you saw the Dustin Johnson putt. What a way to conclude that championship last week in Boston.
Yeah, 70-foot eagle putt that goes in the hole. It's
goes straight up in the air and drops down in. It doesn't get much better than that. That was dramatic. But you know what intrigues me about this week is that, you know, Rich Harvest has done – Jerry Rich has just been terrific for the amateur golfers. He had a great Solheim Cup there. He's had great college events there. But Rich Harvest needs an event like this to fully have everybody fully appreciate what a great course that is. I mean, you've got to have the men's tour, and these are the best of the best players that are going to be here. I'm Alex. I'm very intrigued. I imagine you are too. This Rich Harvest is a different kind of golf course. Those players haven't seen this course. I'm wondering how they're going to do out there. I think it's going to be a real test for them. Not that I don't think they'll shoot good numbers and show some great golf, but that's a really an interesting spin for finally having a big men's pro tour that completes a cycle for Rich Harvest after all the great tournaments that have already been there. This is the first time it's really had the men pros.
Well, it is, Glenn, and that's something, you know, interesting. And, you know, I've talked a bunch with Mr. Rich. He created this golf course to test the top players in the world. I mean, from the moment he thought about it, built it, put this together, and while we've had the top amateurs, we've had the top ladies, I think you're right that it is the opportunity to really showcase this and the challenge that Rich Harvest Farms is. When you grow the rough up here, as you know, it's a challenge for anybody. So We're excited to see these guys play it. A course that everybody's seen quite a few times, you know, on TV over the years, and see the lines that they take and see how they play different holes. I think it's going to be fascinating.
Alex, I know that at the pro level, all of these guys hit it a long way. So what kind of yardage do you know that Rich Harvest Farms will be set up for? Are they going to get it back to 7,400 yards for the week?
Absolutely. It'll be back. It'll be about 7,400 yards, and the course is absolutely perfect. I mean, Rory, I saw you came out, you know, last week and saw it. The greens are perfect. The fairways are perfect. We are ready for these players and really to put on a show for the community, and that's what matters to us.
Yeah, it was nice to get a firsthand look, especially at some of the greens that had been called into question by a rumor that was floating around town that turned out to be totally false and had no merit to it whatsoever. But the golf course looked in fantastic condition, and I got to believe these players that, well, they're used to getting pretty good conditions everywhere they go, but they're really going to appreciate the quality of the golf course at Rich Harvest Farms. I know your Jay and his crew are been out there, you know, working on it every day, and from what I saw, everything looks really good in advance of championship week.
Oh, it is, and just the build out, the golf course conditions, it's going to set up spectacular for all of our venue participants and everyone that really comes here to enjoy it. All the fans are just going to have a great day.
Well, Alex, I know when I was out there, I also saw some of the hospitality tents, and it seemed like some of the best locations on Rich Harvest Farms have those skybox tents out there, and the build out was going on, and it looks like that a lot of people that come out and are on the hospitality plan for the championship are going to have some great views and be able to watch these great players in action, you know, close up and personal.
We couldn't be more excited for the turnout and the chance to just see everybody. And I think that's one of the things, Rory, that we had spoken about earlier this week is the community, right? And this is something that we're excited, the Rich family, the entire team here, to bring to the community. And along with that goes the Kids Golf Foundation. You know, the Kids Golf Foundation is really Jerry Rich's baby. This is something that we've put together over the last 20 years. We've had over 200,000 kids go through a program where we use golf as a vehicle to teach life skills. And it's throughout the state of Illinois, from East St. Louis to Chicago. And I think that one of the things that we haven't talked enough about is Liv is going to make a tremendous contribution to this program and really continue to help underprivileged kids disabled kids and kids throughout the state of Illinois learn, you know, the way that we've grown up. You know, Jerry Rich was the first caddy that became a member at Butterfield, and it really gave him that opportunity when he was young to learn something. And we want to share those opportunities with all the youth.
Well, Alex, I know that you're going to, you know, get a nice donation into the Kids Golf Foundation. But, and I don't know if you have the list in front of you, but when this event was initially announced, there was a list of several great charities that were going to benefit. Can you share any of those with us here? Because I know it goes above and beyond the, you know, Kids Golf Foundation that Mr. Rich started years ago.
It does. And honestly, they're too numerous to name right now. But we are going to share this with truly the community of Kane County, Aurora, our immediate community, as well as Chicago and statewide. I mean, there's this opportunity that we have to really share it. Jerry Rich has never done this about him. Rich Harvest has never done it about us, right? We want this to be something that everyone is proud of, that we have the chance to share.
Well, Alex, listen, we appreciate you jumping in here on our special edition of Golfers on Golf Radio today. Before we let you go, because I'm sure you've got a lot of last-minute planning still yet to pull together in advance before this outstanding field arrives, but how many are there tickets available? How do you get them? You know, can people still come out and watch this event at Rich Harvest Farms this week?
Absolutely. LiveGolf.com. There are still general admission tickets available. Come on out, bring your friends, bring your family, and come have a great day. We're excited to see everyone.
All right, real good. Alex Klein-Wedeen, thank you very much for jumping in this morning. And Alex, we'll look forward to seeing you out at Rich Harvest Farms starting on Thursday in advance of the championship.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a great day.
Okay. It is 10:22. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. Rory Spears in the studio with Len Ziem today. Next weekend, I will be at Rich Harvest Farms, and Ed Stevenson and Bill Berger will join us here in the studio. Len Ziem, I think, is also planning to come on from the Palm Air Studios down there in Sarasota. Right, Lenny? You'll be a part of things next week.
Well, I could be part of things next week, but not from Palm Air. We'll be heading to Gulf Shores, Alabama for a very interesting golf travel destination tour. So I'll give you a few tidbits from there, but we'll be certainly tuning into the Live tournament from on TV and watching it, so I know what's going on there. I'm very interested in it. It's just that the next Saturday will be a travel day, and we'll be talking a little bit of Alabama golf somewhere there, I guess.
Yep. Well, it's too bad you couldn't get back up to Illinois. We've got or Wisconsin, because there's so much great golf going on in this 9-day window. The USGA Mid Amateur at Erin Hills. Also, the second course is the classic Seth Rayner Blue Mound Country Club. Up there in Milwaukee, and all of those players, the field, I believe, is it might be 312, unless it's 264, one of those two numbers. And they will be teeing it off round one today in the stroke play, and then, of course, tomorrow before the match play breaks out on Monday and the championship wraps up at Erin Hills on Thursday. And I see the rankings came out. One of the polls had the University of Illinois, and Mike Small's team expected to be strong this year with all of his top players returning, ranked 11th in the country. Outstanding field coming to Olympia Fields next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for that University of Illinois Invitational. And some of the best college players and future stars in professional golf will likely be out there participating. And, Len, we can't let the show go by without recognizing the Women's Western Golf Association, their annual meeting and their annual presentation of the Woman of Distinction Award. And one of the greats on and off the golf course, Judy Rankin, being honored this year over at the Glenview Club during the week.
Yeah, there could be no better honoree for that very prestigious. That's a very prestigious award in women's golf, the Women's Western Women of Distinction Award. I mean, there's some really, really high quality, high hardworking, dedicated people over the years that have earned that that honor. And last year, I believe it was Sandra Fulmer, who was a local connection, who was a great player as well as a great worker within this industry of the game. But Judy, of course, is so such a international reputation, both as a player and as a broadcaster. I'm not so sure. She was a great player, but I'm not so sure she isn't even better as a broadcaster. So a great honoree, and I congratulate the WWGA in selecting her.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's going to be great to listen to her speak this week. And also, you know, Len, it's amazing. Whether you're at Erin Hills, Olympia Fields, Rich Harvest Farms, it seems a little strange to be in the middle of September and have, even though they're all kind of piled on top of each other, such a great golf week here at this time of the year.
Yeah, you know, one thing, I guess I should have brought it up with Alex. I'm wondering with the what's been interesting with the LIV Tours, it's each of these tournaments that I've been watching and following via the releases and media outlets. Each week, the field has gotten a little bit better. The team aspect of these tournaments is really a lot of fun. But I'm wondering if there hasn't been an announcement yet. Usually, something right around the end of the weekend before the early the next week, we'll learn if there are a few more big name players joining LIV, because they've been coming in pretty good numbers. I don't know that we're going to get a new list or another few players. I haven't seen the entry list. I know that all the big names are going to be here, but I'm wondering if we're not going to get a few more surprise additions to the field before the first ball is hit at that Pro-Am on Thursday.
Well, I'll tell you this. I know that there are still rumors that some of the players that are playing in the upcoming President's Cup down there in Charlotte, North Carolina, might be defecting, so to speak, as the term has been used, or we'll just call it jumping over to the LIV Series of Golf after that President's Cup is over. So the rumors are out there. They're flying that is going to happen, and we'll actually have to see if it does. Lenny, we are going to take our break for the show here at the bottom of the hour and give an opportunity here to plug some of the sponsors that have been with us all year. And, of course, don't forget this hour and next week's show brought to you by LIV Golf, the LIV Golf Series, and tickets available for this week's event at Rich Harvest Farms and Sugar Grove. Go online to livegolf.com and see what tickets are still available. And with that, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about LIV Golf and the broadcasting side of it with Tim Cronin of the Illinois Golfer right after this. In 2022, the Erin Hills Golf Club in Erin, Wisconsin, located in the northwest suburbs of Milwaukee, will host this September its fourth USGA Championship when the USGA Mid-Amateur comes to Erin Hills. Erin Hills is already one of the only six U.S. Open courses that you can play. Erin Hills was built inside the club's 652 acres of land left by the glaciers of the Kettle Moraine era. This walking-only course gives the golfer a day to settle into the nature of central Wisconsin on this top 100 it rated in the country golf course. Erin Hills has overnight rooms above its Irish pub and several cottages with multiple bedrooms for groups. So if you want to spend the night before or during multiple rounds of golf, enjoy the overnight lodging at Erin Hills. Some examples of Erin Hills' fine beverages include the Erin Hills Pilsner or the Fescue Rescue that hits the spot on a hot summer day. But don't forget, test your putting skills on the new Drumlin putting course. For tee times and rooms in 2022 that are going quickly, call Erin Hills at 866-772-4769. That's 866-772-4769.
800-400-4769. And don't forget, visit AaronHills.com. The Misswood Golf Club on Renwick Road in Romeoville is one of the Chicago area's top-rated public golf courses. Misswood's commitment to excellence continues under the McWethy family, both on and off the golf course. The Ray Hearn design not only hosts the Phil Kozen Illinois Women's Open every July, but other tournaments all season long. The professional staff is one of the largest in the area, so for lessons, club fittings, Mistwood is the place to go. Mistwood has been rated a top 100 fitting location in America by Golf Digest magazine. So golfers, go enjoy a day of Mistwood golf and then cool down in McWethy's Tavern or dine outside on the pub's patio. Make your tee time today by calling 815-254-3333. That's 815-254-3333. Or visit mistwoodgc.com. And don't forget, now try out Mistwood's new honey from the bee farm at Mistwood Farms.
DuPage Golf has reinvented the nature of golf in Chicagoland. After extensive renovations, the Preserve at Oak Meadows is reborn as a new, award-winning 18-hole golf course, practice facility, and environmental haven. The reviews are in. The Preserve at Oak Meadows joins the ranks of top courses in the country on Golf Week's Best You Can Playlist and is the winner of Golf Digest's Green Star Award and Golf Inc.'s Renovation of the Year. Visit DuPageGolf.com to book a tee time. Learn more about the Preserve at Oak Meadows at DuPageGolf.com.
All right, 10:31. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. I'm Rory Spears along with Len Zeem. And, you know, Len, I got to tell you, we heard from our friends at DuPage Golf. I had a chance to talk to Ed Stevenson yesterday a little bit. And Eddie will be here in studio for next week's show during the middle of the Live Golf Invitational Chicago Series. And he's been hard at work with Greg Martin. And they're starting to do some planning for the renovation that's coming to Maple Meadows. No start date is set yet. And I also had a chance to talk briefly with Greg Martin, the architect, and good reviews coming in at one of his recent projects that just reopened, Settlers Hill, out in Batavia, and I'm anxious to kind of get out there and see that one as well. And Greg also spoke that he's doing some work out in the Aurora area and at the Naperville, Springbrook and Naperbrook courses, and also a few greens have been fixed at Fox Bend Golf Course over in Oswego, and those are kind of growing back in, and hopefully one of these days will be open for play sooner than later. And Lenny, with that, we're going to bring into the show our next guest. He is the publisher of the Illinois Golfer, and I know that he's been monitoring some of the Live Golf Series broadcasts that have been out there online so far, and that's Tim Cronin. TC, how are you this morning?
Gentlemen, it's a beautiful sunny day here at Illinois Golfer World Headquarters. So I hope it's the same for you. Lenny, I hope the rain stops so you can get out at least play nine today.
We have a storm and a half going on right out my back window here. I hope
it's not even hurt.
You know, thunder and lightning, but I'd rather be out. I'm looking at a golf course, but I think I'd rather be playing one in nice weather.
Well, I'll tell you,
not even golf to watch on TV this week, but there will be next week if you have online access, and it sounds like you will for this LIV tournament. It's going to be interesting to see how they do. Look a little different.
Guys, I'll tell you what. You know what? It is it's a beautiful day to play golf here in Chicago, and if you're thinking of playing this weekend, today might be the day. I know there's some rain talked about during the Bears home opener tomorrow at Soldier Field, and then Monday a temperature of high of only 60 degrees, a little different than the 85 today. But Tim, let's start with you. I know you've watched some of the Live Golf Series broadcasts online, and what has stood out to you so far on what you're seeing from your laptop?
Well, first, because there is no American broadcaster on it yet, there are no commercials. So it's a little like watching a tournament on the BBC, which is good. You'll get 5 hours of golf, And in that 5 hours of golf, you'll get 5 hours of golf. You won't get 4 hours and 3 minutes of golf. You'll get the whole thing from start to finish. I don't know that there are a lot of people that watch golf on television from start to finish. I think most people tune in for the back nine, and if they're only going to watch one day, they'll tune in for the back nine on Sunday. But it's there for those who want it, and it's been a very good production so far. They, the LIV Golf people decided to go the route of Formula One, not only in television but in other things. That's where this team concept came up. They think they can sell those teams to people eventually. I don't know about that. But I do know that the television coverage is a single coordinated production. If you watch a Formula One race, you'll see the same pictures all over the world, and the audio would be overlaid by the local broadcast group. In the case of the United States, we get the UK broadcast from Sky, which is very good. And LIV is doing the same thing. They have an international broadcast video feed, and then there's an English language feed that we get here in the United States, which is also seen in the UK and elsewhere, Australia, for instance. The idea behind that was to allow the LIV people to show it the way they wanted to show it, and they wanted to be a little different than standard broadcast TV. And Greg Norman brought in David Hill, who created Fox Sports from out of nothing when Rupert Murdoch brought him in from Australia, where he was doing television down there. So that's a big name. And a guy with a lot of ideas. Hill is the guy who brought the little score box to the corner of the screen and revolutionized the TV in that way. Everybody else followed him almost immediately. They've got a guy named James Watson, who is their production chief, and he's done the Australian Open. So it's not like they don't have people who've done golf before. Their director, Steve Beam, used to work the U.S. Open on Fox. He did all the match broadcasts on Turner. Obviously, he knows what he's doing. They've got 50 cameras out there. They've got 14 towers, I think you said, Rory, having counted them.
Yes.
There. They have graphics on the left side of the screen that remind you of an auto race. If you watch F1 or IndyCar or NASCAR, the list of cars running on the left side of the screen. Now you have a list of golfers playing on the left side of the screen and where they stand in relation to par. And with a shotgun start tournament, they don't put up what hole they're on. Rather, they put up how many holes the field has left to play. So it might say 14 to go or something like that. And it looks very good. They've got your usual TrackMan video, coming off the when the ball hits, it goes flying through the air. They got the little track in the middle of the screen. I hated that on hockey when you had the flying puck on Fox, but it works for golf. And it looks very much like a real television broadcast. It's just they haven't sold any network on carrying it over here yet. I hear that might happen next year, and I would think that the two likely suspects to go for it would either be Fox and then FS1, their cable partner, or Sinclair, which has a ton of broadcasting stations around the country, and also associated cable sports networks, including Marquee. You can imagine them trying to cobble together a deal to cover a bunch of the country. And Sinclair is as a national sports network in the Tennis Channel. You're not going to see golf on the Tennis Channel, but maybe they can figure out a way to do an adjunct. I suspect that they'll be on more than just DAZN and YouTube and their own Facebook thing next year. So it looks good, and it sounds relatively good. If they would just stop touting how this is the greatest thing in the history of golf, which it is not. It is just more golf. They'd be a lot better off. But Arlo White is their main play-by-play guy. Lenny knows him from the Premier League broadcast on NBC and the old NBCSN and USA. Jerry Foltz was their first analyst. He's now an on-course commentator. In the booth replacing him is David Faraday, who had been most recently underused, I thought, at NBC. And he sounded very good up at their tournament in Boston, where they had a whole lot to talk about. And another one of their on-course guys, and he's sort of the European-Asian expert, is a guy named Don Boulay, who I had never heard of. But he says some pretty interesting things, and he has a good one-liner now and then, too. I'd imagine if he and Faraday could start to get together and go back and forth the way Faraday and Gary McCord used to do, it could be a heck of a lot of fun. But it's a good view so far and a relatively decent listen. And now the question is how many people will see it next year, because right now they're averaging about 130 or 40,000 per telecast at any one time. And if they ever do want to have advertising, they'll need a few more than that to pay the bills.
Well, before I get back to Len Zima, Tim, You know, you've watched the historical moments and recorded them, not only for your stories, but also some of the golf centennial books you've written for various clubs. But, you know, it seems like when you have a new product, you need certain moments to be captured, maybe springboard you into a better future. And what do you think the Dustin Johnson putt did last week to win the championship in the way he did there, sort of in exciting fashion?
That was the moment of LIV Golf so far, and that's the highlight that would be on any highlight package they'd want to put together to promote this thing. 35-footer for Eagle to win a playoff against two other named players, banging into the back of the cup and finishing at the bottom of the cup, unlike ours, which usually bounce out and goes sideways for me.
Yeah.
That was dramatic stuff. It was very well covered and a lot of fun to watch, and it got a lot of notice on, as people like to call it these days, social media. And I'll tell you what, if they have anything close to that at Rich Harvest, it'll make some noise. That's what they needed. The first three tournaments, interesting golf, decent golf. You know, Phil Mickelson hasn't played well. Other guys have. And people were talking about, well, you know, it's really not much different except it's shorter and there's no cut and the shotgun start and all that. But they didn't have a real moment to say, hey, this is what we're going to be here. Well, now they have that moment. Just as the tour has 100,000 of them over the decades, they've got one in their fourth tournament. Let's see what they can do after that. It was great stuff. The audience loved it, and there were people there. And if you don't have a gallery, there's really, to my eye, not a lot of interest in people watching. If you ever watch a regular European tour tournament, there's usually 12 people watching on any particular hole, and it's not very exciting. And even if Renton Laidlaw over the years could say funny things and be very chatty, the staying power of the audience, I don't think, was there. People like to watch things that people are watching. And in this case, they had a crowd, and that helped too.
Well, Len, I know that you've listened and watched David Faraday's program over the years. You got to believe if they're really going to take off with the broadcasting side here of their events, you don't bring in and pay somebody like David Faraday top dollar to come join your network. I got to believe his role will do nothing but expand as the years move forward here with LIV Golf.
Well, it pretty well has to. I felt the telecasts I saw that he was pretty underused. They even brought in Bubba Watson to do some on course work at the. In the Boston tournament, the broadcasting team is, I didn't think they were anything special yet, but I tell you, the graphics, Tim brought them up a minute ago here. I think they're just excellent. They're way better than what we see on the PGA Tour. And the pace of play, they make for a, because of the shotgun start, I think it creates a nice, a quicker, a little more, it creates a little better telecast, really, a little more spontaneous telecast. And I think that one thing that I would debate with Tim a little bit is there, I think that the new team concept, I think that is really good. I think the idea is excellent. Right now, it seems a little shaky because the team names are just, you know, Four Aces, Majestic, stuff like that. But I think that once we start, we're going to see sponsorships for these teams. We're going to see fixed rosters on these teams. I think it adds a whole lot to what LIV is doing. I think it's going to be very evident next year when the schedule expands from eight tournaments to at least 14, and we start, they get their TV contract. I can't imagine them not having some kind of a hookup in the United States, and we'll go from there. But a lot of interesting things. We're gonna see a lot of interesting announcements in golf in the remainder of 2022 and the beginning of 2023. It's going to be quite a bit different. Quite a bit different all the way around on broadcasting and the schedule-wise and everything when we get to next year.
It's 10:44. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio, special edition here as we preview the upcoming Live Golf Series event taking place at Jerry Rich's Rich Harvest Farms. Starting tournament starts on Friday and runs next weekend. I know there's a pro-am on Thursday as well, but it will be great to see a lot of the big name professional names back in the Chicago area. Long overdue. It's been a while since they've been here. And Tim, you know, I gotta believe that you know, the rumors are out there. There's going to be a couple of major broadcast networks. And I got to believe that, and I know you touched on it a little bit, that one of them is going to have to be prominent here in the States if those broadcasts are going to take off. And I got to believe they didn't bring David Faraday over there for nothing.
No, I wouldn't think so. I just wonder how far along they are in negotiations. Fox and Liv had talked very early on, and Fox didn't want to shell out whatever Liv was asking for, and I have no idea what the numbers are. But television golf is the most complicated thing to put together, and it's also a very expensive project to put together. The real guts of the work is done by NEP. That's an outfit that has 205 mobile units around the world. They're used by many networks everywhere to do things across the globe. They do the European Tour broadcasts, effectively. When you go to a European Tour event, you would see the TV compound NEP trucks. I see NEP trucks at the Indy 500. I saw NEP trucks, at least a couple of them, at the BMW a couple weeks ago. They're used by darn near everybody. The networks don't own their trucks anymore. They always lease things because the technology changes so much, these other companies can keep it up to date faster. So this will be the best and the brightest in terms of how it looks on TV. And as long as they don't lose the picture from all way out in Sugar Grove, I guess they'll be all right. Satellites could get you a long way these days. I think they'll be fine with that.
Yeah, Timmy, you mentioned trucks, and you know, someone asked me this week online, are all the equipment companies out there sending their trailers to make sure these players are up to speed on equipment? What have you seen? What have you heard in regards to that? You know, because the players go in and they get with the equipment guys and they tweak stuff or replace stuff that maybe damage from the previous week. What do we know about the equipment companies and how well they're still connected to these golf tournaments?
Well, my friends at Global Golf Post wrote about that last week, that the answer is no. All the brand trucks, Titleist, Callaway, TaylorMade, Wilson, etc., are not at LIV tournaments because they're at the regular tour. But there is a truck out there run by a guy who used to do LPGA events, and he calls it the tour truck, and that's been going around at least to the U.S.-based LIV tournaments. So they do have somebody out there who can put together a new combination shaft and club head if necessary. And the question has been raised, okay, how many people does it need to take on the LIV tour to get one of the regular trucks out there? And the answer is probably a lot more than they have, because I think Callaway has a couple of guys and TaylorMade has a couple of guys. Titleist has two or three guys, and that's not enough. They have a whole truck out there Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Plus, the tournaments are shorter. This is another thing. There's no golf out there until, I guess, practice rounds Wednesday, and nobody's allowed to watch it until Thursday's Pro-Am. So they're not out there Monday and Tuesday as well as you'd see on the regular tour when, you know, there's practice and an early Pro-Am on a Monday and more practice Tuesday and the Pro-Am on Wednesday, and the trucks start pulling out on Wednesday night. It's a whole different deal. And I think until you get a full field tournament, you're not going to see that happen. And they don't want to go to full field. They want this 48-man kind of closed-loop system. And, Lenny, that's where the team thing comes in. Our four guys from the 48 are on the XYZ team or whatever, trying to, you know, promote widgets. There's team golf that's interesting 3 days every 2 years, and that's the Ryder Cup. Nobody pays attention to the President's Cup, quite frankly, or the Solheim Cup, sorry to say, in the grand scheme of things, even though it drew well when it was at Rich Harvest in the case of the Solheim. People care about the Ryder Cup, and that's it. I don't think you can translate that to a regular basis and have somebody rooting for the Spacely Sprockets team.
Well, you know what, Len, let me ask you this. You know, here we are, It's a golf tournament in September, and it'll be the second week of the NFL season. College football has kicked off. High school sports has started again. What's your take on, how well golf does basically when football fires up in the fall?
Yeah, you know, this was the one thing about the tentative schedule for 2023 that LIV put out. They had Chicago listed without a course named for a September date, and I think that's a mistake. I think that it'd be much better, of course, if they can move the tournament way up into the summer, where, frankly, that's where tournaments ought to be for our neck of the woods here. I think that probably they're more successful everywhere if you're scheduled away from the National Football League. So I hope that that's worked out. I hope that, common sense says I know they want to schedule away from the majors, and there's an awful lot of big tournaments out there that probably you don't want to go head-to-head with. But I think that LIV, especially in Chicago, if they can move that tournament into at least August, maybe a little earlier than that, it'd do a lot better. I still disagree with Tim on that the team concept. I think the next real exhibition is the President's Cup. They've been saying LIV is an exhibition. I think that the a real exhibition is the President's Cup. It's not competitive at all yet. I mean, international team has won but once, and that was back in the late 90s. So once we know who's on each of these four teams, and then sponsorship kicks in, they present on the telecasts. I felt they presented, including the award ceremonies, a pretty good description of the excitement that the team golf in those events have produced. It's really different than a normal tournament. This is maybe one of the biggest reasons why is that it has a team concept going right along with the individual. So we'll see. We'll see how that one shakes out.
Well, I'll tell you this. People say LIV, Roman numeral 54, and it ties in great with the 54 holes that their events play. But could they expand the field to 54 as more players join the LIV Golf Series? And it's quite possible that'll happen after the President's Cup. And people say, well, no, you can't do it because you got these four-man teams. But, Len, I'll start with you, and then Tim, jump in your thoughts. But could they actually make it three-man teams next year, and you put them out together as a group, and maybe get six more guys on the golf course at all of your events next year, Len?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that the field size could be increased. I read somewhere where they were thinking of going up to 60 players. Now I don't know that there's been an awful lot of conjecture about things that could or might or are debatable as future things there. I think that they go just a little bit bigger. I don't think they need any of these 156 player fields or anything like that, but the team aspect, every player in the field, I don't know if they even need to be part of a team. But I would suspect that the number four players per side is the right number. Going down to three or up to five, my own feeling was it's kind of a comfortable format that they have for the teams right now of four players. So I think this is one of the many subjects, maybe a prominent one that's going to be brought up over the next few months as to just how do you work the teams, work the team format of this out. I think that, and I tell you what, I think the PGA Tour ought to have a real look at involving itself with the team concept in some form or another, because to me it just looked really well. It looked really good. I'm kind of very high on what LIV has done in that area.
Well, the tour has certainly copied just about everything else LIV has done, including the $20 million purses, so they might as well do that. You know, one thing I couldn't figure out early on, who is on what team if you're just watching, and then I realized the caddy bibs match the team. So there is a way, if you're on the golf course, to figure out who's playing for what team, for those who are so inclined.
Well, Tim, do you think that they could make it three-man teams and get a couple more teams into play and expand the field a little bit next year, even if it's only six more players?
Well, if I don't know about expanding right away, but I'll tell you what, if they actually find buyers for these teams, companies that want to get involved, you know they'll expand. If they can get 12 people to buy on and there's somebody waiting, they'll add on. There's no doubt about that. This is about money, and nobody's been averse to spending money so far on this tour, and I suppose they wouldn't be averse to making it either.
Okay. Well, Tim Cronin, Illinois golfer, I know you'll be out at Rich Harvest Farms this week, and also probably checking in with University of Illinois Invitational, Olympia Fields, down in the South Burbs, your neck of the woods, and over to the WWGA luncheon as well. So we'll let you go. Thanks for jumping in, and I'll look forward to seeing you in Sugar Grove this week.
Very good. As Lenny would say, when it rains, it pours.
Well, that's the story down in Florida. Tim Cronin, thanks for jumping in here. Lenny, time flies when we're having fun, and we're coming up the 18th fairway again. So anything you can tell us about your plans for Len Zeme on golf this week and what you may be putting out in the Daily Herald on the golf side this week?
Well, I have written one big long spread. I've covered the Live Tour, you know, I think in three or four columns, but I have a much bigger one that is in the hands of the editors over there. So we will see what they you know, this is being the biggest, really the most highest profile tournament of the year in Chicago. Also coming on in touch with the start of the NFL season, we'll see just how it all shakes out into their. Into their editorial plans, but yeah, I'm going to stay on this Live stuff, and I'm thinking very seriously. You know, the last tournament of their season is in Miami, so I'm thinking of trying to make plans right now, really to go to see it, cover it, write about it, whatever requires. One thing interesting here for me is that. Now that I'm back in Florida, I wish I was seeing the Live thing up close and personal, but I'm also closing in on seeing a lot of Florida golf here. We've got the LPGA concludes 1 year in Florida, real close to me here with two tournaments, and then starts the next one in Florida as well with its Tournament of Champions. The Champions Tour has got one of its playoff events here that I've been to the last few years, and the Old Shark Shootout is in Naples. The Old Shark Shootout, which is kind of a, you know, and the father-son tournament there here. So I'll be seeing a lot of good. Expect to see a lot of good tournament golf in the once the Chicago action is over with, and it'll be available in Len Zeme on Golf, and I hope some of it in the Herald and the Chicago outlets as well.
Okay, well, Lenny, we know we're looking forward to having you part of the broadcast next week. And again, I'll be checking in live from Rich Harvest Farms. Ed Stevenson, Bill Berger will be here in the studios, home of Golfers on Golf Radio at WNDZ. And one other note that I want to pass along, the great golf destination in America, Pinehurst, the home of American golf, has reopened its number 8 golf course, the Centennial Course, at got shut down in May for a, I'm not going to call it a renovation, but definitely a restoration as they redid the greens, the tees, the fairways, and made some other changes out there. The goal was to have it open by Labor Day weekend, and they succeeded in doing that. So if you're thinking North Carolina or you're getting out the Pinehurst Way and you say, I know they got 10 courses, which one should I play? Make sure you put number 8 on your list. It has reopened, and the early photos and video that I have seen makes the place look great. You can check out more at pinehurst.com. And as our last few seconds tick away, it was great to be back with Brian, our producer. Thanks for getting us out to everybody. We appreciate Alex Klein-Wedeen out at Rich Harvest Farms, Tim Cronin of the Illinois Golfer for jumping in. And for Len Ziem, I'm Rory Spears, and we have one more week of Golfers on Golf Radio, and you'll hear it all here at 10 a.m. next week, and a lot more mid-tournament from what's happening with the LIV Series of Golf. LIVGolf.com if you need tickets, and we're live from out there next week. Have a great week, everybody.
The preceding program, Golfers on Golf, was paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.